Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, if you want to listen to the full Burt Show every day uninterrupted, we got no ads on that thing. All you have to do is become a bonus BS subscriber. That's bonus Burt Show. Find out more at theburtshow.com/bonusBS.
The Burt Show.
She has a new diet that a toddler has influenced. Katie, I'm intrigued because I'm curious as to which toddler this is and how a toddler can influence your diet.
Well, I'm just going to come out and say it. I'm on the Jimmy diet.
You're on the Jimmy diet. What diet is my son on that I am unaware of? Because right now we're on the diet of dear God, just eat something. When you have little kids, one, they can be very picky. And we went through a stage where he literally ate anything you put in front of him. And now you put like something in front of him, and if it's in the wrong plate, heaven forbid you put it on the Winnie the Pooh plate and not the elephant plate. Mm. It's not going to get eaten.
That makes sense, though. That. Yeah.
I get that. How stupid can
Duh.
I be?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you dumb bee. Why would you do something like that? So what is the Jimmy diet?
All right. Now, I have somewhat of a confession. For over a year, I have been a little influenced by Kristen's pantry.
Oh,
and so
that's
it's
okay.
Now.
No, let's.
Yes, it is.
Let's clarify. That is not Kristen's pantry. That is Bart's pantry.
Okay, well, Bart's pantry.
My husband does the grocery shopping. He's in charge of our child's diet. He's the one that does all like the deep dives into like his Icelandic yogurt, his special peanut butter, you name it.
So it originally started with their food, like not Jimmy's food. Like I've changed my butter now. Okay. I use the butter that you all use.
Oh, that's some Irish butter. That's some good
butter.
The
Kerrygold?
Yes.
Yeah. That is the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
All right. I now have pimento cheese in my fridge as well. You know, like little things like that. I now start drinking a little bit of sparkling water, right?
Wow.
I have slowly. I have my chocolate in the fridge too. It's Hershey's though, not Dove, but still.
I always keep a bag of Dove dark chocolate in the corner, right in the on the shelf, because you know I get like these little
in case
cravings.
Of emergency.
Yes,
I got you.
And there's one every day.
Katie, you gotta be careful. You're gonna be the first black person to make a casserole.
Slowly but surely, Akeisha's coming soon. But it's just little things. I've just been influenced. I'm like, well, if they're eating this, this must be the good stuff. These are good products, and then I just naturally just change those products. However, what I realized is that, I don't know, maybe I haven't been around enough toddlers. Jimmy doesn't eat what I think a standard toddler would. I feel like toddlers are just, give me nuggets and fries and that's it. Mm-hmm. No, Jimmy eats the good things and also healthy things. So his yogurt?
We try, yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's got the Icelandic skier something special yogurt.
Yeah, so I saw it one day and I was like, that looks like that's some good yogurt. I went to the store, I bought it, and I'm like, okay, if I do this for breakfast, like I'm starting to change my breakfast, lunch, and dinner. If I do something light for breakfast that involves the yogurt that Jimmy eats,
ooh,
right? And like a oatmeal on the side. And then I'm like, for lunch, if I just do protein, right? Because Jimmy may only just have nuggets. Or he has like a solid protein. I'm like, okay, if I just do the protein like Jimmy does, all right, cool.
Don't forget, like Chick-fil-A is one of our food groups. Chick-fil-A nuggets is definitely one of our food groups.
And then I'm like, if for dinner, I still have something light but incorporate fruit because Jimmy eats like a whole bunch of different types of fruits. I'm like, if I do that, and then for dessert, Jimmy, well, he likes three gummy bears. So I'm like, I'm not gummy bears, but something light for dessert, like something that's small and like in portion control. And so I've started to do this day by day to keep me on track because I've been stress eating a lot lately. So I'm like, if I just do the little food groups like how Jimmy does, maybe that will keep me consistent at my diet.
I think most nutritionists would disagree that you eating as much as a toddler is a good idea, but I like where this is going.
I mean, I eat bigger portions. It's just how I've seen Jimmy's meals been like presented to him is how I do my meals now, and I go off of that.
You put them on an elephant plate too?
No. It's the dinosaur plate. Okay, it can't be that
right.
One.
Get it right.
My bad.
Do you also like when you eat cheese, you cut it up so you make baby cheeses?
Yeah, and cheese and crackers sometimes.
So who's making fun of you?
Oh, okay. So Rebecca. So one day I came in with my yogurt, and she's like, "What type of yogurt is that?" Like she's judging the type of yogurt. I'm like, "This is Jimmy's yogurt." She's like, "Jimmy's yogurt?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm doing the Jimmy diet." She's like, "What? You're eating like a toddler?"
Jimmy diet.
I feel like maybe there's like some money to be made here. Because, I mean, you have Atkins, you have Mediterranean, and now we can have Jimmy's.
Exactly.
Have you paid Jimmy for stealing his swag yet?
No. Slowly but surely, maybe.
Okay.
Okay, we got to see if it works.
Make sure he gets it.
Yes.
The Burt Show.
All right, entertainment buzz on the way.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I am so baffled by this entire story because I watched these two growing up, and when they popped up on my timeline again, I was like, oh my God, I totally forgot about them. So I'm talking about conjoined twins Abby Hensel and her sister Brittany. If you haven't seen these two, they are one person, but with two, it's two people, but they have conjoined bodies. So they look like one person, but with two heads. And they had a whole TLC show growing up. So they captured how they went through life and getting jobs as they grew up. They're both teachers. Obviously, because they have the same body, they have to do the same job.
Mo, this is an introvert's worst nightmare. You literally could never be alone.
Yeah.
You could never be alone. There's always going to be somebody right there on your shoulder, literally.
That's certainly a nightmare. I couldn't imagine.
Well, one of them just got married. And I'm so fascinated that I'm dying for TLC to reboot their show. I'm really not a fan of reboots. I want to see what's going down with this. So apparently they've been married for several years, but footage of them dancing with one of their husbands has come out. And everyone's like, how does this work? You know what I mean? Like, how can you be one person, but you're just married to that person, but your sister's with you constantly? So can she not get married now? What happens if there's another guy in the picture? Will you guys share a house? Like, what's going to happen here?
Yeah, because, I mean, they are two individual people.
Yes.
Because you have two different brains. You have, but they share the same body. So the fact that she did this, I think it was like 3 years ago, and nobody was any the wiser. I don't know why this is all coming out now, but it is. I was fascinated by this as well as I was like looking at it and reading it yesterday. And he didn't marry both of them.
He married one of them.
And it makes you wonder, like, during intimate times, like, is the other one just supposed to, like...
You just gotta close your eye?
I guess.
Like, there's nothing else you can do?
But at the same time, you have one body, so you're also, like, I'm assuming you can
feel what she's feeling, too.
Feel what she's feeling. I'm so mind-blown by this whole thing.
It feels like one of them would have to sacrifice their life for the other one to enjoy it, because there's no way you could both have the same quality of life. If one gets married, you have to marry both of them, it feels like.
Yeah, and then think about it, too. Like, so when she first met this guy, what do you do when you first meet somebody? You go on dates, right? So when they went on dates, did the other one just stay silent the entire time? Is she non-existent? Is she not there? Or is she actively participating in on the dates?
That's a valid point. And what if you are not feeling the other one at one point? Like, you don't want to talk at the same time. Like, I don't know how you live this life.
I don't, trust me. It takes a special body and two special people to be able to endure that.
Yeah, and most people don't like their brother-in-law's period, so now you've got to be around him constantly, no matter what. So it's really crazy to me. When this came up, I was like, I'm so happy that they're able to have some sense of normalcy. Like, when I was like, I was filled with so much hope for them, because I was like, oh my God, that's great. Like, they have found someone who is like,
able to work through that? Because I think most people would be like, oh, no, I don't want to. Like, two people, one body, like, would be too much for me. So maybe the other one will also find a husband and they'll have, like, I don't know, some kind of, not thruple, or, but, like, it's just so interesting to me. So I hope TLC does reboot their show so we can find out, like, how this all went down.
And because I want to believe the best in people. After doing the show for 13 years, sometimes that can be hard to do. but I was hoping that this guy was genuine and that he just wasn't into it for, quote unquote, the freak show aspect of it. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I really want him to be, like, in it to win it and not, like, have nefarious reasons for wanting to marry one of the conjoined twins.
And you said it's been 3 years they've been married?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been together 3 years.
It's only come out because somebody posted a video of them dancing at their wedding, and so everyone was like, hold up, we missed several chapters. What happened here? So, yeah, but speaking about chapters, me and Cassie had some big news yesterday because one of our favorite authors just announced that she's coming out with a new book in her Empyrean series. So I'm talking about Fourth Wing and Iron Flame. This is from Rebecca Yaros, and the third book is set to come out in January of next year. So we only have, what, 9 more months to wait?
That's exactly. I hadn't heard that. I've been traveling all day. So
what? You didn't hear? I'm breaking the news for you.
You are breaking the news, and I am so excited. We read those two books for our Burt Show Book Club, which you can join on Facebook if you want. But I'm excited.
I know, it's one of my favorite series. The fact that we're getting a third book and so soon. I hope her editor has quickly looked through everything with a fine tooth comb. But I love the content no matter what, so I'll be pumped. All right, Suge Knight is warning Diddy he's going to have to watch his back in prison. I'll explain why you said that on your next Evo's on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Here we go. The two have been chosen in our busted baby bracket. Baby 6 versus baby 29. I am proud to say, even though my Kentucky Wildcats got out in the very first round of the NCAA tournament, my baby 29 has made it to the championship game.
And I'm right there competing with you because my baby number 6 made it to the final.
All right, so go to theburtshow.com, scope out the two babies that made it to the championship game, and get your votes in. And then the day of the championship game, the real championship game, we will announce the winner of $1,000 in our busted baby bracket. I feel like they are both deserving of this honor.
Yes.
I would consider them both number one seeds.
Yeah, they are both equally hideous. Yeah.
There are no losers here.
No, there really aren't. Except one will win $1,000. So head to theburtshow.com and go ahead and vote for who you think should win and be deemed champion for our busted baby bracket. And our show director, Tommy, may or may not have put together a One Shining Moment montage parody for our busted baby bracket.
If you know anybody that sounds like Luther Vandross, hit me up. Tommy at theburtshow.com.
Don't nobody sound like that.
No, I know, right?
If you sound close, like maybe Luther's cousin.
Just have AI do it. I feel like ChatGPT could pop something out.
I've done a little research on that. I'm working on it. But we'll have something.
He actually came in studio and said, I'm trying to find an AI Luther. All right, good luck with that. So Mo sent me this story, and it is so crazy and so outrageous. I was like, you know what we should try to do? We should do our own version of Versus. And for those that may not know what the Versus battles are, and I feel like we haven't had one in, like, they don't do them anymore.
They stopped doing it once the pandemic was over for the most part.
Okay, so but what were the Versus battles?
It was two legends in music coming together and sharing their catalogs and putting them up against each other. Every song that they've ever done or every song that they've ever written, and giving the fans an opportunity to decide which artist they believe actually had the better catalog.
All right, so Mo sent a story in, and I was like, this is bananas. I go, all right, so I'm gonna try to find an equally messed up story, and we're going to do our own version of Versus. So you will share your story. I will share mine. Abby, you will be determining who has the most jacked up story.
Okay, perfect.
Yes. And since yours was like a medical Marvel abnormality, whatever you want to call it, I tried to search for something in the same vein.
Okay.
But since you found yours first, I will let you go first.
I believe in you.
Crazy ass story.
But this is going to be hard to top.
Yes, it is.
All right, ladies, get ready to unlock a new fear.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine going in for a bladder stone, but it turns out that it's a calcified baby that was never birthed. Yes, this actually happened in Brazil. It was an 81-year-old lady, and they believed that the fetus had been there for 56 years, which is the last time that she was pregnant. She was indigenous and lived in a remote settlement, and they didn't discover this before, but she had been having a urinary infection for a while, and they went in because she thought she had some kind of severe infection, and they did a CAT scan, and they saw a calcified fetus. They operated on her and removed the fetus, and she went to ICU, but because of the infection and probably her age, unfortunately, she didn't make it.
But had a calcified fetus in her body for 56 years and had no idea.
Did they name it Cal?
No, they did not name it Cal.
They did not.
No.
Tommy, they missed the opportunity.
It's a dead baby, Tommy. It's
but the doctor explained that it does happen. It's an extremely rare condition called an ectopic pregnancy. But yeah, it'll start to develop somewhere outside of the womb. And you, I guess, don't even know that that's happening.
I'm shocked she survived that kind of pregnancy. That's a pretty deadly pregnancy, honestly, when that happens. So the fact that she survived that long is shocking in and of itself.
Yeah, and when you look at the, because, I mean, there's, you can actually see the scans, right? And it's just, it's like a little fetus, just its bones, just calcified, just in there in the body. It is so crazy.
That is fascinating.
And terrifying. All right, so I see your calcified fetus, all right? And I raise you a different fetus. So doctors surgically removed a fetus from a one-year-old's brain in an extremely rare medical case. So I'm going to try to pronounce this correctly. But allergies, I'm going to blame it on my allergies and not the fact that I went to a state school and I'm stupid. the fetus was the child's monochorionic diamniotic twin, meaning that it came from the same fertilized egg and also shared the same placenta, but it had developed in a separate amniotic sac. During pregnancy, one fetus was enveloped by the other and died as a result, but its remnants remained in the remaining child's head even after birth.
Oh, it's sort of like one twin was going to give a hug to the other twin in the womb.
And it was like actually so that the fetus was removed from the one-year-old's brain.
Your story is so advanced and have so many big words that you explained it and I still don't know what happened.
I know, right? All right, Abby, calcified baby in the womb for 56 years or fetus in a one-year-old's head?
I got to give it to Mo because I'm just picturing like this like gargoyle-looking fetus they had to scrape out of this woman's uterus. It is nauseating to me that she survived that decades of this very deadly condition. So props to her for making it that long, but sorry she passed in the end.
I'm not going to lie. I got my hair did yesterday, and I was in the salon for quite some time, and I searched high and low to find a story to be yours, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to do it.
That's one. That's hard to top. That is a tough one.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you got to have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Burt Show.
I think any bride and groom would tell you cash is king when it comes to wedding gifts, especially if it's a large denomination. Unless that check you get bounces, then well, that gift is pretty much worthless. And that's what Burt Show listener Laura is going through. And it makes it even more complicated who the check came from and how you're supposed to address it. Laura, thanks for joining the Burr Show.
Hi, how are you?
Good. All right, so tell us about your bridal shower and how someone got invited, and now here we are with a massive, massively bounced check, and you don't know what to do.
Yeah. Well, so recently I had my bridal shower, and my fiancé was... Okay, so my fiancé is all about making good impressions, and he really wanted to make a good impression at work, so he suggested that we should invite his boss's wife to my bridal shower.
That's a bold statement and a bold move.
Yeah. And I didn't know what to do, honestly. I mean, I don't even know her. I've just, like, heard her name. But he insisted it would help him score some brownie points, so I just went along with it. And then the boss's wife showed up, and because she didn't know anyone there, I felt obligated to entertain her the entire time.
Mm. Which took away from your bridal shower experience, I bet.
Absolutely, and I also felt nervous about making the right impression after how important my fiancé implied it was, you know? I felt more focused on her than the actual fact that I was supposed to be enjoying that day for me. And I feel bad that I was distracted instead of showing my appreciation and enjoyment for the shower that my best friends worked so hard on. So then, when it was time to open gifts, I was given a card from the boss's wife. Inside was a really large check, like the amount of money that I'm, like, kind of uncomfortable with being given by somebody who I don't know.
I mean, give it time. You can get comfortable with any amount.
Oh, yeah.
It won't take long for me at all.
Send that check my way. I'm real comfortable with money.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really generous gift, and I was excited about it because we had been stressing about affording the honeymoon and everything. So then I went to cash the check, and it bounced.
Uh-oh.
That's not good.
Yeah, I mean, at first I figured it was just an innocent mistake, so I waited a bit, tried cashing it again, and it bounced again. And I'm really annoyed. I mean, it's not just about the money. It's the, you know, it's the principle of the thing. A gift was given, and I think it's only fair that we actually receive it. Plus, I never even wanted this lady at her shower in the first place, so it's doubly annoying. So.
Go ahead.
So I think my fiancé should actually say something to his boss about it.
Ooh.
Yep, but he's, like, dead set against it. He thinks it would mess up his career, which it's disappointing. I mean, he wants to sweep it under the rug and move on, but I can't help feeling like we're getting the short end of the stick here. You know, I mean, honestly, am I making too big of a deal out of this? I mean, should I just let it slide like my fiance wants, or do you think I'm right to want to address it?
All right, so a little bit of harsh love here. I get that you didn't want this woman at your bridal shower, and your fiance kind of pushed it, and so you caved and you had her there. It was not your responsibility to entertain her, so you have to take ownership of the fact that you were distracted from your shower by focusing attention on her, okay? Like, that's something that you chose to do, and that's how you chose to handle your bridal shower. And I think because you did that, that makes you even, and you took focus away from who you should have been hanging out with and spending time with. This is why the check is even, the bounce check is even that much more irritating. And I totally get it. And plus the disappointment, like, you see a check like that, you're going to the bank, deposit it, thinking that you're going to be able to cover your honeymoon. And then all of a sudden this bad boy, literally bad boy, bounces, and you feel like you've been taken for a ride. I do not think your fiance should say anything to the boss, but I do think you should send the check back to her because it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
So would it be rude to just mention it in passing? Like, you know, thank you so much for the gift. Oh, my God, that was incredible. I don't know. Maybe you should check with your bank because it just didn't go through. I don't know what happened. But, you know, it, like, you don't have to even say the term bounced necessarily.
No.
But
yeah, that's what I would do. I would hit her up and be like, hey, thank you so much for coming to the shower. It was so lovely to meet you. Thank you for this very generous gift. I'm not sure if something
happened with your account or with the bank.
I would just be like, yeah, just to give you a heads up, I went to go cash this, but for some reason something went wrong. So just wanted to give you that heads up and then let her take it from there.
Okay.
I think that's
a good advice.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea because then instead of looking like the ungrateful bride, you look like you're just kind of going out of your way to make sure that she doesn't have another embarrassing moment. Like if you have to give a check to maybe like a big client or somebody else, it would be humiliating to have to hear it from them. But if it's coming from, I don't know that I'd call you a friend of hers, but somebody who's not like a business colleague in any way, I feel like it would be received a lot better.
And I mean, I want to hope, again, I try to believe the best in people, that she wouldn't give you a check and give you a check that she knowingly knows is going to bounce. Maybe her husband is doing something sketchy with their accounts and she doesn't know it. So she wrote you a check thinking it would clear. And then you go to do it and the husband has done something behind her back with funds. Like you just don't know.
Because you know, she knows that she has to go to work and she's going to see your husband again. Like it's not like she's like, I'm never going to see her again. It won't matter. I don't see somebody doing that on purpose in this circumstance.
I don't see so either. So I would, because you always follow up with a thank you card. Right? I mean, that's what you typically do. So I would just send a note and be like, it was lovely to meet you. Thank you again for coming and the generous gift. Just to give you a heads up.
You broke.
I tried to cash it, but something went wrong and just wanted you to know. And I would leave it at that. But getting your fiance involved with the boss, I feel is just... Mm-mm. I would just keep it to the two of you right now because there may be something the boss is doing to their accounts that you're unaware of. You got to try to think of all the scenarios. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
All right. But I would definitely reach out to her, text her if you can, and just let her know.
Got it. Yeah. No, that sounds good. Right. I'll definitely do that.
Get your money.
Chick better have my money.
Right?
The Burt Show.
All right. So I came across this on Instagram, and it's a question I want to ask you guys and our Burt Show listeners. So Katie Harrington said, what's the weirdest thing you ever got in trouble for at work? All right. What's the weirdest thing you ever got in trouble at work for? And she says, I was accused of being disrespectful because the six people I CC'd on an email weren't listed in order of seniority.
What?
What?
That's not a thing.
Apparently it was to this boss. So for instance, if I was going to send you guys an email, I would need to list it in order of seniority or in order of tenure. So say if we're going to do it for tenure, I'm sending the Bert. I would have to do in this to you. I'd have to put Bert first, and then I'd have to put Cassie, and then I'd have to put Mo, and then I'd have to put Abby. Otherwise, it would be deemed disrespectful.
That's literally insane. Right?
Life is hard enough. Why would you be mad about something like that?
1-855-BERT-SHOW, 1-855-237-8746. I found a Reddit thread of people who have people who got in trouble at work for some of the stupidest reasons. So this one said, it was pirate day at the zoo I worked at. So we were all dressed up as pirates. I had a very blunt, very fake plastic sword. A customer lost her bank card in a gap beneath the snack trailer, and I gave her the plastic sword to reach in the gap and get her card out. I got massively chewed out for giving a customer a weapon. Same boss once told me off for sweeping too loudly as well.
Sweeping too loudly.
Yes, sweeping too loudly. Apparently, that's the thing.
Some people are just miserable. That's what I've learned.
Yes, you know, you're 100% correct. All right, again, what's the stupidest, weirdest thing you got in trouble for at work? I have my own office. I do not interact with the public. Some mornings, I would wear stockings at work because it was cold. Some days, I might get warm, and I would go into the bathroom and take off my stockings. I got called into HR that it was distracting that my legs were changing colors during the day. For instance, black in the morning, and then I took them off and they were my legs again. I was told either wear my stockings all day or only wear sheer stockings so it would not be distracting.
How do you even notice that?
I know.
How much attention are you paying this woman?
All right, next. This one's so funny because it's like it's a hypothetical. At my last job, we were all talking about the lottery. There was a record jackpot at the time. People were talking about what they would do with the money if they won. My boss asked me to pay for her to go back to school if I won. I said no. I would not share my hypothetical lottery winnings with her. She got mad and gave me attitude the rest of the week and assigned additional busy work to me because I wouldn't give my hypothetical lottery winnings to her.
Oh, my God.
All right, Lindsay, thanks so much for calling and joining the Burt Show. What was the stupid reason you got in trouble at work?
Yeah, good morning, longtime listener. I work at a small office, and I was moving, and so I had to have my boss sign my tax document in order to send it into my tax people. So then I proceeded to fax my document from my workplace to my tax person that my boss had to sign, and I got written up for using company property for personal reasons.
What? You actually got written up?
Wow.
I got written up. Yeah, it was a mess.
It seems a little excessive. Do you still work for said company?
I do. They're actually very, very good to me. I think it was just a one-off, but it was crazy.
Yeah, she's like, don't fire me. I actually like it there now.
Yeah, I'm cool. We good now.
We just had a bad day. Mm-hmm. Hey, Heather, thanks for joining the Burt Show. What's the stupidest reason you ever got in trouble at work?
Good morning, y'all. It's a few one here. I worked for a roofing company, and I went to lunch and bought some food and came back with a bag and everything, and I ate at my desk. And I went outside and put it in the dumpster, and I got reprimanded instead of putting it in the trash can inside of the office. I put it in the dumpster, and they said that there was disrespect to the company because I didn't use the trash can inside.
What? So she can't even get through because she's laughing so hard because it's so stupid. So because you threw your trash in the dumpster and not the trash can inside, that was disrespecting company property.
Yes.
I don't even know how to wrap my head around that.
It's very simple. The trash can obviously went to HR, was very offended that she didn't want to put her trash in it.
Got it. Don't disrespect the trash.
Another one from the Reddit thread that made me laugh. This person just said, being on time.
That what?
They got in trouble for being on time. Apparently, it made my manager look bad because they were never on time. All right, last one. Alexa, thanks for joining the show. What was the stupidest reason you ever got in trouble at work?
I got in trouble at work for sitting in a chair.
Okay. Whose chair did you sit in?
It was a work chair. It was everybody's chair, but the one of my coworkers got aggravated because I was sitting in a chair when she wasn't allowed to sit in a chair.
Why wasn't she allowed?
Yeah.
I have a medical reason that I'm allowed to sit in a chair. I have nerve damage, and she was aggravated that they wouldn't allow her to sit in a chair, but I was allowed to sit in a chair.
Yeah, but why can't she sit? Why isn't she allowed to sit in a chair? Where do you work?
I work at a hotel, so we have standing desks.
So you can't.
But I'm allowed to sit in a chair because I have nerve damage with my leg.
So she was hating.
And she was feeling some type of way because she wasn't allowed to sit in the chair.
There you go.
You know what? Valid.
That yes.
Abby said it best. Some people are miserable.
The Burt Show.
Sometimes I have to dig deep, and then sometimes something will just pop up in my algorithm on Instagram, and I'm like, congratulations, you're the winner, bad take of the week. And that is what happened for me this week. And Abby's going to have a bonus one for you as well, as something popped up for her, and it definitely qualified for bad take of the week. So I'm just sitting there scrolling Instagram, and I'm like in the mommy algorithm. I got the mommy algorithm sitch going on, and this pops up, and the original audio is from @thegreatnessdoc. I do not know who this mom is, so I can't give full credit, but they want their child to see a veterinarian, not a doctor.
Huh?
They want their child to see a veterinarian, not a pediatrician. I'll let her explain.
My son does identify as a cat, but I cannot take him to a vet because I tried that, and the veterinarian told me that because he has human anatomy, that he does not know how to work on him or diagnose him with anything. You legally cannot. while I do think that is a form of discrimination, because, you know, my son, if he says he's a cat, he is a cat, and he needs to be treated like one, you know? I'm not going to press charges because I know that he could lose his license if he did work on my son. I'm not going to try to sue him or anything, so don't worry. But this is something that I want to raise awareness on, because I do think that people that identify as an animal should be able to go to the vet. You know, that's the medical attention that they're wanting. And so I really do appreciate you asking this question. I think it's an important topic that we discuss, because if we don't, we're never going to make progress. And these people that identify as cats are going to have to continue going to human doctors. And I just don't think that that's fair.
Now, I know this is a sensitive topic. I know I have friends who go to schools and there are children there that identify as cats. Okay. Like they have litter boxes for those particular kids to help them and to be supportive of their journey. Okay.
Do they have like a diagnosed mental illness, or are these just
neurotypical
kids?
Yeah. Yeah. They identify as cats.
You said you know people that do this?
I don't. I know people who are at a school who have added litter boxes to accommodate those who identify as cats.
They really did, because that was an urban legend that went around a while, like a few months back, that they were adding litter boxes to schools.
Yes.
But if you know people who have
this
seen the litter boxes.
Thing?
Yeah, that's I'm hearing it secondhand, but this person has kids in a school and they are accommodating certain kids with the litter box. Yes. I don't know if the litter box is actually getting used, but it's there maybe just from like a, what's the word I'm looking for? There is kind of like a support to lend to it.
An emotional support litter box.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. But in this instance, I think you should embrace your children as they are, but veterinarians are different than pediatricians. And it's very important that as a parent, you look out for your child's health and well-being, and that they need to see a pediatrician and not a veterinarian. So obviously when this popped up in my feed, there's a certain part of it. I was like, as a parent, you got to do what you got to do. But as a parent, you also have to do what you got to do. And that's to make sure your kid gets the proper health care that they need, because they do have human anatomy.
I just had a thought. Maybe we could put a litter box in the studio for Bert, because, you know, sometimes he has to pee and has like a very short window. So that could help out with that.
Okay. Well, he doesn't identify as a cat. So and I don't want that in the studio. But, you know, I really appreciate you. And I'm really allergic to cats. So we're just going to try to table that conversation.
The thing is, it's just two completely different anatomies. Like when I take my cat to the vet, like they have to stick a thermometer up her butt. So you know what? If your kid is that determined to identify as a cat, take him to the vet or take him to a pediatrician, have them put a thermometer up their butt, and they are going to identify as a human real quick.
Is this the part where we tell Abby that's how you take the temperature of small children?
Yeah. That's what you do?
Yeah. I've never had that.
I'm adding that to the list.
There are things called rectal thermometers. And
thermometers.
It's the most accurate way to get a temperature.
For a small child, yes.
I don't have any recollection of that.
Good for you.
Maybe I've been a cat all my life.
No idea. I mean, now we're so advanced, and they just take the little, like, you know, they shoot the little thermometer gun at your head and they get your temperature. But as Cassie says, to get the most accurate temperature reading, a rectal thermometer is the way to go.
But you wouldn't do that to an 8-year-old.
No.
I was talking like a baby.
Yeah, we're talking about like infants and babies, but they do exist.
Yeah. Take that 8-year-old to the pediatrician, have them go the rectal thermometer.
That's the sound it makes?
Yeah, that's the sound it makes.
Okay. Uh-huh.
All right, and Abby, your bonus bad take?
Yeah, I saw this from an account called Lexi_good_ on TikTok. She thinks ugly people need to stay off your TV screen.
The only marginalized group of people that I won't support being represented on TV is ugly people. As a redhead, I do understand the importance of seeing someone like you on TV. But if you put an ugly redhead in front of me again, I'm gonna rage. Yeah, I would like my TV characters to be relatable. In the sense that if they, like me, don't have basic math skills, but it's okay, because they're hot. That's the part that makes me feel better and related. If we share a bad personality trait and they're ugly, I'm walking out of the theater. And I hate to say it. Acting, sometimes you question it with the talent that's out there. Acting cannot be that difficult. The least you could do is be pretty.
Is she like the finest person ever to be out here calling people ugly like that?
No, I don't think she's necessarily calling herself like super attractive. I think she was trying to be satirical, but sometimes when you're a little bit too dry with the satirical sense of humor, it just comes across as you being a big a-hole. And I think that was Lexi Good's problem here.
Yes. Yeah. That, especially that last part.
Yeah.
Because acting is not easy.
At all.
Hey, it's Bert. First, I want to thank you guys for listening to the podcast. You guys are the hardcore listeners right here. And if you like what you hear, and look, you're out listening to the podcast, so you got to like what you hear, right? Will you do us a favor and review us? Maybe give us 5 stars. And if you don't want to give us 5 stars, just forget that you heard this. Thanks again for listening.
The Bert Show.
All right, Abby's got your entertainment buzz.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
I have breaking entertainment news that I am so gagged by. I went on entertainmenttonight.com or etonline.com just to, you know, check out all the headlines, see things I could add to this report. And when I saw this, my jaw literally dropped to the floor because Gypsy Rose Blanchard and her husband, Ryan Anderson, are separating after only 3 months with her being out of prison together. I am shook. If you don't know the story, Gypsy Rose Blanchard was abused by her mom with a condition called Munchausen by proxy. She basically pretended she had all these medical conditions. And long story short, she ends up conspiring with her boyfriend to kill her mom. So she went to jail for that. And she just got out of prison. But while she was there, she had gotten married to this guy named Ryan Anderson. And when she got out, it was like this beautiful love story. Like they waited to be together while she was in prison. And
yes,
now they could finally
beautiful love story. She was on Instagram telling everybody how awesome his D was.
Yes.
Oh, that's how all the beautiful love stories start.
She said the D was fire.
Yes.
And
literally, verbatim.
She was having a moment. Like Gen Z was like, oh my God, this is our icon. We love Gypsy Rose Blanchard. And we're very happy for her because after, you know, being abused by your mom for that long and then going to prison, to see her get to have like a love story, if you will, was really exciting.
Sure.
Well, now on Facebook, she has posted that she and Ryan have decided to separate. She said, people have been asking what's going on in my life. Unfortunately, my husband and I are going through a separation and I moved in with my parents, home down to in the bayou. I have the support of my family and friends to help guide me through this. I am learning to listen to my heart. Right now, I need time to let myself find who I am. Which, you know what? I think fair. Her entire life, she's always had people telling her what to do. And she's been in constrictive circumstances that I think, honestly, her being single is a very healthy thing. But I am sad. I was kind of rooting for them.
I mean, her home was a prison. And then she goes to a prison after she, you know.
Mm-hmm. Marriage is then a prison. And, so,
but for some. Are you really shocked that they didn't make it, though?
I'm really shocked.
Because the D was fire?
The D was so fire. How are you going to give it up?
It has to work. What do you mean?
And I think just seeing them together, I thought they were so cute. And he spoke so highly of her. And I don't know. In someone who had such a unique upbringing, where you experience the abuse of your parent for that long, and then you go to prison, and then you find someone who is like so in love with you and can look past all of like the trauma that you've been through and can love you for who you are. Like I was like, oh my God, that's such like a story of triumph. And so the fact that it's only lasted 3 months is really sad.
You were rooting for him.
Maybe the D wasn't that good, but
it couldn't have been.
Yeah, right, clearly.
But I think Gypsy's going to get over it because this is one of her most iconic lines. And I think she just needs to tell herself this in order to be able to get over it. Just love that audio. It was cool. It went viral on TikTok a couple months back, and I just think she needs to repeat that to herself in the mirror to be able to get through it.
She needs to focus on her for sure right now.
Yes. Okay, now back to the hard-hitting news. So Suge Knight is basically saying if Diddy goes to prison, which he's saying that he thinks he's going to, he needs to not use his new name, Brother Love, because it is not going to fly in prison. So this is all coming from commentary from his Collect Call podcast, which he does from prison. And he's saying that he's got to stop using his new name, which he changed back in 2017 to Brother Love, because it's not a good setting. You know, you can't call yourself Brother Love when you're bopping around prison. But what I thought was so interesting is I didn't realize that he has changed his name so many times, Diddy, because mm-hmm. I just know him as Diddy. I'm like, this is P. Diddy. He changed his name to P. Diddy after he was found not guilty of other charges in 2001. So I found it very interesting that in 2017, he wanted to change his name again. I almost wonder if he kind of
could predict that this was going to happen 7 years later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was Puff, then he was Puff Daddy. But prison would be the worst thing ever for him if it does happen because of his fame. One, he's going to have to be isolated from everybody and all of the people he has hurt. And I think some of those people are in prison, so it wouldn't be a good experience for him at all. Not that it's a good experience for anyone.
Yeah, and it looks like the raids are just the beginning because the feds are issuing subpoenas to companies that have done business with him. They're trying to identify anybody that might have information about this alleged sex trafficking stuff, and also just seeing who else would be like on like the jets and stuff to and from the places where he would have taken them on his jet.
Stuff is coming out of the woodwork. It's hard to keep track of everything that's coming out.
And that's one of the most interesting parts to me is the quietness that's from everybody, because so many people have been affiliated with him, with his jet issues, with his parties, that I'm sure there are a lot of people shaking in their boots because they don't know once he goes down who's going with him.
Mm-hmm. It's like Epstein all over again. All right, Drake posted some cryptic messages about his rivals on Instagram. I'll tell you what he's saying on your next eBuzz on the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Does cheating in your dream mean anything? We're going to get to that here in just a second. First, oh wait, I can hear something.
Sorry.
Oh, thank you, Mo.
Yeah. I'm like, wait, I hear something and there better not be profanity in it.
Mo takes two sips of a frappuccino and all of a sudden he thinks he can do whatever he wants
on
the show.
I'm brand new out here. Y'all gotta forgive me.
All right, so there's been a lot of talk about shrinkflation. Have you guys heard of shrinkflation?
Is it meaning that things are going to be cheaper? Because I would love that.
Well, no, unfortunately. Smaller, yet the same price, which I'm not down with. However, I am down with one aspect of shrinkflation. So shrinkflation is putting snacks and drinks in slightly smaller packages. However, they want to charge the same as the larger portions that we're used to. I'm not down for that. There's a new research out of Georgetown suggesting 54% of Americans want smaller portions. Like, stuff has gotten, like, so extreme. I mean, when I go to a restaurant and I order something, 9 times out of 10, I'm taking half of it home because the portions are, like, that ginormous. That's for both reduced sizes in food packaging and restaurant portions, and that percentage is even higher if they have young children in the household. Because if you have young kids, you realize how much food you waste and you throw away, and it's heartbreaking. So while I am all for shrinkflation, smaller portions, sure, I don't want to pay the same price. I feel like let's do a solid with everybody and do smaller portions or offer half portions, but you got to reduce the price courtesy of inflation.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, it makes sense for them, but for us, like if it's too much, you just don't have to eat it all, or you can save it for later. There's ways around that, but to have to pay the same price to get less just doesn't make any sense in the end.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I feel like every time I go to a restaurant, I'm looking at this massive plate of food like, okay, I'm out here drinking and eating. I can't be having like a Big Mac size meal and also all the wine that I want to drink too. So yeah, I'm a fan of making portions a little bit smaller, but also like make them cheaper. Yeah. Yeah, your girl's got to pay her bills.
Be great. I like cheaper.
All right, so producer Jackson in studio. Does cheating in your dream mean anything? That is the question.
That is the question. And it's not about me. This is actually about my sister. So she recently went on this big post-grad trip to Southeast Asia where she was traveling all around. She wasn't getting much sleep. So probably a lot of melatonin attributed to some of the wild dreams that she was having. And she's been dating this guy now for about 3 months. This is her very first serious, like, relationship that she's ever been in her life, okay? And things have started pretty quickly for them. They're very into each other. I really like the guy, and, you know, I'm wishing the best for them. But
he has the brother seal of approval?
Yes, he does. I've met him a few times, and I've enjoyed hanging out with him, and, you know, I'm getting to know him a little bit. And so one day I get a text from her that's basically like, hey, like, are you free right now? I'm like, yeah, what's up? And she immediately FaceTimes me. And she FaceTimes me and is just beside herself, like bawling, crying, and like,
you're like, what did he do?
It's brother time. Turn it up.
Right. And I didn't think it was anything about him because she was on this big trip and she's like, I think she was in Thailand at the time. And I was like, what happened? Like, what's going on? And then she hits me with like, I just woke up from a dream that I cheated on my boyfriend. And I was like, what? Like, not the direction I was thinking that this was going to go. And so I was like, hey, take a second. Like, it's okay. Like, and I've really honestly never been one to read too much into dreams. Dreams are always such like a wacky thing that happen every night. And like,
sure.
You know, a lot of times it's weird because sometimes they feel so real until you wake up and you look back and you're like, wow, I could fly and, you know, breathe underwater and I didn't think anything of it. But, you know, and I don't attribute that to anything that's actually happening in my personal life. Right. And so she is completely pulling an Abby and catastrophizing this entire thing through and through. And it's basically like, does this mean that our relationship is doomed?
No.
Like, am I going to do something? Like, and is panicking, right? And the funny thing is that this was her cheating is not like she hooked up with another guy. It was that in her dream, she was hanging out with some guy and the guy admitted that he loved her and she said, I love you back.
So it wasn't even physical. It was just her professing love to another man.
Exactly.
So who was the man?
Some dream guy, I guess. I don't know.
Most of my people are faceless in my dreams.
Really?
Really?
I see people from my real life all the time in my dreams. And then you have to see them in real life the next day and you feel some type of way. You're like, I know what you were doing last night. Yikes.
And I see people from like my past that I genuinely do not think about anymore, but somehow they'll end up in my dream. That's how I know it doesn't necessarily always attach to what's actually in your mind.
I have heard that the people that you do see in your dreams are all people that you have seen or interacted with before, like whether they're like a side character in your life or someone that you know through and through, they're usually people that you've actually come across and interacted with.
Well, hopefully you talked her off of her dream ledge and let her know that this is not a sign of bad things to come, that it was just a dream. My question, though, now for you guys is, you have a dream like this, like you're in a relationship, you have a dream where you cheat on them. Do you even bother telling your significant other you had a dream that you cheated on them?
That's what I was about to ask Jackson, if your sister told him. But me personally, no, I would not bring that up.
I wouldn't say it. Especially because it was just like the I love you. Like, it's not going to make anybody feel better. Like, hey, last night in my dream, I told somebody else that I love them. Hope that doesn't make you feel some type of way. Like, no, there's nothing to gain from that.
Right? Some things are better off left and kept to yourself, right? And so I asked her, and she was like, yeah, he was the first person that I called. I was like, come on. Like, what? There's no reason for you to have to share this, because now maybe he's going to be overthinking it now. And so the thing is, so this guy that she's dating is in the military. He also just graduated, and so they're about to start doing long distance, and I'm wondering if there's a lot of like deep-seated anxiety that she has about doing this relationship long distance, and that's where this comes from.
Look at you breaking it down.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I guarantee
math
it.
Is mathing.
And then she's going to meet somebody else, and she's going to tell him that she loves him.
Yeah.
She can't listen to this. Don't put that in her brain.
The Burt Show.
We've added a couple more options to our, you know, to catch a cheater on The Burt Show. We did Tinder Takedown recently, and now we are doing Hinge Hustler. Because Sonia reached out to us, and she is convinced that her friend is dating a garbage dude.
Trash.
Excuse me, my allergies, man. This pollen is just next level. So she said this guy that her friend's been dating, they've been going out for about 5 months. She had a slew of reasons she didn't like him. He didn't get her friend anything for her birthday. He doesn't really talk to anybody whenever they hang out in a group. He's dismissive. He doesn't like it when she hangs out with her friends. He talked her out of going on a girl's trip. He just comes across conniving, and in her gut, Sonia's like, I do not trust this guy. Now, she heard from a third party that this dude was on Hinge. She told her friend, but her friend, who is blindly in love, is like, whatever, that's hearsay. I don't believe it. He's a good-looking dude. Maybe somebody stole his photo and did like a fake profile, right? So she wanted us to see if we could catch him on Hinge. So I had two friends. I enlisted two friends. First friend went on Hinge, did find his profile. Couldn't tell if he had been active or not. Liked his profile and some of his prompts. Did not get a response.
But we didn't stop there.
No, because, you know, if I'm anything, I'm persistent. So I enlisted friend number two because we had a theory. Friend number one somewhat resembled his girlfriend. Friend number two, the exact opposite, right? Both hot, but just different types of hot. So friend number two gets on Hinge, finds him, likes his profile and prompts, and he does respond. So they engage in small talk, and they were talking about doing something tonight, but he's like, I got plans. Let me see if I can get out of them. And sure enough, Sonia said, like, yeah, he's supposed to go out with his girlfriend on Friday night. So we're supposed to check back in with Sonia today. I have her email, but she's not answering her phone, unfortunately. So the update for our Hinge hustler, all right? He did cancel his date with his girlfriend.
Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. You cancel a date with your girlfriend for a stranger.
And so Sonia knows this because her friend, the girlfriend, hit her up and said, hey, we're just going to continue to call him garbage boyfriend. Garbage boyfriend isn't able to go out Friday. Do you want to do something instead? And of course, Sonia, absolutely. And then she's trying to do a little digging and she asked, like, oh, why did he cancel? Why did he bail? And the excuse he used is that he has to work late today and he's going to be so exhausted by the time he gets home, he's not going to want to go out.
Oh, I would be so angry.
This guy's just not trash anymore. He's the whole dumpster.
Now, and hopefully Sonia can listen to this later since we're not able to get her on the phone. I wanted to let her know that everything's matching up because friend number two hit me up and was like, yes, he did reach back out to me on Hinge and messaged me and said that he was able to get out of his plans. We can go out Friday night. They can go out tonight. So they have a date set up for tonight. She, of course, is not going to show, right? Mm. Now, that means Sonia has multiple options, and I want to run these by you and see which one you guys think she should do. I mean, there is option A, say nothing, do nothing, but we're in way too deep, and I know that's not even, like, a plausible option. Yeah. Now, she can go one of two routes. She can come clean now and tell her friend what she's been up to, and then they can go to this location together to bust him, mm-hmm. okay? So they can go in, a la Thelma and Louise, into this bar and be like, how dare you? Or, and I don't know if this would go over well or not, because the only reason why I bring this up is because her friend was so hesitant to believe it the first time. Keep her friend in the dark, and then tonight, they go to that bar that he's at, and she keeps her friend in the dark and doesn't tell her till they get to the bar and she sees her man at the bar when he's supposed to be at home asleep.
Ooh.
So the way I see it, if you just show up with your friend and he's there, because he's not meeting anyone, he's going to be alone. Mm-hmm. I feel like he will try to find his way out of that. He'll talk his way out of that and say something that's not true about what he was doing.
He'll weasel his way out.
But I feel like if she's straight up with her, like, listen, I didn't. My man, that'd have been the best approach to do what I did, but I did it with the best intentions for you as my friend. And then you go and you take him and you see him there and you have all this information. There's no way that he can weasel his way out of it. So I would go with option number one.
So Abby, if I came to you and I had done this, right? And mm-hmm. I'm like, Abs, this is what I did.
You're crazy. Why would you do this? Uh-huh. I love my boyfriend.
Are we going to ride together to bust him? Or are you going to be upset and, like, just in denial?
Here's the thing. I would want to be a part of it because I would want to take that man down in public. I would want to throw a drink at him. I would want to humble his ass. I would want to make sure that he was on his knees begging for me in that bar. But that's my personality. So I think you have to take your friend's personality into consideration because maybe she's the type of girl that would really, like, buckle under the pressure and would want to believe the best in the boyfriend. And maybe she's very vindictive and would be upset that you did this for her. So I think you should take that into consideration before you make your decision. But I think the most foolproof plan is probably to go to the bar by yourself or, like, with another friend and then take snaps of him at the bar and send it to your friend, because I'm assuming he'll say something like, oh yeah, I'm asleep, babe. Everything's fine. Everything's great. I still love you, even though I'm at this bar and you don't know it.
All right. Sonia, you got options, girl. So all I ask is that, like, Monday, you answer your phone.
Yeah. We'd like to get an update.
The Burt Show.
I'm here to attempt to make Anthony Mackie look a little bit better. I'm not going to make him look better. I'm just going to make him feel less alone. And less alone in the fact that there are plenty of celebrities out there who are rude and standoffish to their fans. As unfortunate as that is, Anthony Mackie isn't the only one. So we played some audio on here yesterday at this time of a woman that had an interaction with Anthony Mackie at a gas station. She went up to him to, like, you know, say hi, huge fan, and he just dissed her by throwing up a hand and saying no.
Hey, Anthony Mackie, like, it's so nice to meet you. Like, your work is actually phenomenal. I'm so glad I got to meet you. Like, have an amazing day. That was all I wanted. But these celebrities make it seem like we're roaches and rats. Bitch, I'm at the same gas station as you. Baby, we on the same level playing field. I'm pumping the same gas you pumping right now. And you can't even look at me. even if he was like, oh, like, hi, like, shush, like, you know, like, I'm on the low right now, but it's so nice to meet you. That would have been amazing. But I get a hand to the face, get stranded, looking stupid. Anthony Mackie, the rudest celebrity. You make celebrities look bad. You do.
You do.
Just you.
So I was like, surely other fans have had interactions with rude celebrities. And the list is plentiful. I found not one, but two BuzzFeed lists. First one called Celebs Called Out for Being Rude to Their Own Fans. The second one, people are sharing times they had rude interactions with celebrities. And so these might actually make Anthony Mackie look half decent here, okay?
Let's do it.
All right, so Harrison Chung, he is or was the former publicist for Christian Bale, okay? And he wrote a book, Christian Bale, The Inside Story of the Darkest Batman. And he alleged that when people came up and asked Christian Bale for autographs, he would lecture little girls about being rude and intrusive until tears streamed down their faces and their parents tugged them away from his table.
Wow.
Oh. He made little girls cry.
Why? That is a darkness I don't want to understand.
I guess if he was sitting at a table having dinner and he thought if it was a young person, he would teach them about being polite and that it's impolite and rude and intrusive to interrupt somebody while they're having dinner. So he would, according to his former publicist, according to Christian Bale's former publicist, that's what he did.
Yeah, we don't need that Dark Knight to rise again. We need him to sit back down.
It sounds like he played Batman, but he was really the Joker.
Oh. All right, y'all remember this viral video that we had in Entertainment Buzz a while back. Bad Bunny smiled at a fan who approached him with her cell phone, and then he grabbed the fan and threw it. Grabbed the fan. Oh, that would be assault.
That's a different story.
Grabbed the phone and chucked the phone in the water.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, he did that.
They were walking. She came up with her phone and like reversed, was trying to get a selfie with him, and he grabbed the phone and just, they were walking next to a body of water and he chucked it in there. So he tweeted, translated from Spanish to English, the person who comes up to me to greet me, tell me something, or just meet me will always receive my attention and respect. Those who come to put a damn phone in my face, I will consider it for what it is, a lack of respect, and treat it as such.
Whoa.
Wow. Mm-hmm. No, you shouldn't put phones in people's faces.
All right. Now, this bummed me out so hard because I'm such a huge fan of hers. I will watch any movie that she is in, and that is Jennifer Lawrence.
No.
I know.
Continue.
So she was doing an interview with Adam Sandler. It was like an actors on actors interview or whatever. And she has a defense mechanism when she's in public, and that is being rude to fans.
Once I enter a public place, I become incredibly rude. I turn into a huge asshole.
You get icy.
And that's, that's kind of like my only way of defending myself is just being.
Put the blockade.
Yeah, just
stare.
Oh, like see somebody walking towards my table and just go, or like, can I have a selfie? And I'm like, no. That's like my only defense.
I was so bummed to hear that.
Aww. That just reminds you how you really do not know celebrities, because I did not see that coming from her.
Not at all. Because Adam was like, he's like, you're known for being like so down to earth, approachable or whatever. And she goes on to say, like, for drama actors, it's a little easier to get away with. For comedians, like, and she goes on to talk about her best friend, Amy Schumer. And that when she's out with her, it's just a nightmare because everybody thinks that, you know, you're best friends and they can come up and they can approach you, and she hates it.
Yeah. I want to give her some grace, though, for at least being self-aware about it, because I can understand when you are as recognizable as Jennifer Lawrence, and every time you leave the house, you know you're going to have an interaction with somebody. I get that it probably just becomes overwhelming and you just shut down.
Absolutely.
All right, this one is wild. A Reddit user met Ed Westwick from Gossip Girl, okay? They met him at the Coachella Music Festival. She recognized him, went up and greeted him. When she went up to say, hey, Ed responded by grabbing a slice of her pizza, taking a bite out of it, and then spitting it out in front of her.
What? He was like, that looks good. Nope.
No. It's like, so she approaches him at Coachella, and he just takes a bite of her pizza and spits it out in front of her.
The spitting it out is the part that would have made me even more mad.
Yeah. Like, you're not even going to chew it, swallow it, and enjoy it. You're just going to spit it out. Another Reddit user who was once an airline worker had the opportunity to serve Hugh Grant on one of their flights. Hugh was seated in a first class 1A on a 747. And apparently it is standard procedure for the cabin manager to go around to every first class passenger and personally introduce themselves in case you need anything. When our manager greeted Hugh Grant, she goes, "Hello, Mr. Grant. My name is," and he replied, "Oh, F off." You know what? I could totally see him saying that. Next, I was at a cafe in LA and Kylie Jenner walked in. I was a huge fan at the time. And since she was the only one in the cafe, I decided to go in and introduce myself and ask for a picture. She blankly stared at me while Jordan and her assistant had their heads down, trying not to laugh. Kylie said, "I don't do pictures while I'm eating," and there was no food in front of them.
What?
So it's one thing if you don't want to take pictures, but if other people are there and they're laughing at you for approaching the celebrity and like making you feel stupid, that's like a whole, that's an ick.
Oh my God, that's my worst nightmare.
With you. Yep. Yeah.
And then the last one, I asked Justin Timberlake for an autograph in an elevator. He didn't even answer me. Then his bodyguard said no, and they got off the elevator.
That sounds about Justin from what I've heard.
Yeah. All right, so just a reminder, spring break for a lot of schools is next week in Atlanta. So if you're going to be on the roads and you're going to be traveling or if you're going to the airport, be warned, it's going to be gnarly. So apparently today is projected to be one of the busiest days with more than 335,000 passengers estimated to head through Hartsville-Jackson today.
Ooh,
yeah, get them through. Yeah, get them through today so I don't have to see them tomorrow.
Because, Mo, you and Abby are both going to be at the airport tomorrow, right?
I'll be there tomorrow. I very rarely leave on Fridays for this reason.
So it's going to be nasty. And then there's been some travel advisories that have been issued. So if you're traveling to the Bahamas for spring break, a level 2 advisory has been issued. So that means you need to exercise increased caution. And then it's just been update, a level 3 advisory has been issued for Jamaica. That's the second highest advisory level. It means Americans should reconsider travel because of medical services and once again because of crime. And while Mexico does not have a specific travel advisory level, officials say Americans should not travel to many states in the country and reconsider traveling to others due to a rise in crime and kidnappings. Ooh. So have a good spring break.
Don't get kidnapped.
Have fun.
The Burt Show.